This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school, Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
March.
Right, you gotta let nature take its course.
You'll find all this in the love stuff aisle.
That's right.
Beginning at your local Walmart.
That's right, I already have two children.
Wow.
That's enough, we'll stop there.
That's awesome.
Nothing but chocolate and flowers this time around, ladies and gentlemen.
Class is in.
God bless Christina Aguilera. She proved you don't have to know the melody nor the words to the national anthem, and you can sing at the Super Bowl.
Man. I mean, just, what more can you say?
I know what else I can say.
What?
I'd have liked to see her perform the halftime show because I was even more repulsed by the Black Eyed Peas.
Now, see, I can stomach the Black Eyed Peas for the halftime show, but Seriously, you got the words to the national anthem wrong.
And you know what? As much as I dislike Glee, the girl who sang America the Beautiful was from Glee.
She was great.
I would much rather have had her sing the national anthem than Christina Aguilera.
And then to issue a statement saying, I was caught up in the moment.
No, and the thing about it is, stop all the Beyonce feathering of notes. If there's one song that everybody wants to sing together,
yeah,
it's a national anthem.
No doubt.
Just sing the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
Totally agree with you, Doc. You don't have to put your spin on the national anthem.
Yeah, I got it. We all know it. I get it. It's a difficult song to sing. No need taking it into the stratosphere. Thank you. We're done.
Yeah, we're
I'm
done.
Joe Burns. Who are you?
I'm Chad P.
Hey, thanks for joining us on Rock School. You know what's coming up on Monday?
What's coming?
Yeah. You're a married man.
That Lover's Day.
Yeah, you had best get it. It's VD Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Aww.
It's Valentine's Day. You'd better wear your girlfriend's heart on your sleeve because she's going to want something, because if she looks at you, and I'm talking specifically to the guys here, if your girlfriend, wife, significant other looks at you and says, no, don't get me anything.
Oh, that's crap. Right,
that's a
there.
Lie.
Sorry.
That's a lie. That's the big lie of the week. This is our Valentine's Day show, so
we get in touch with our feminine side.
That's
once
right.
a year.
Covered in estrogen we are, ladies and gentlemen. I have
a whole lot.
I know, man. It's all over me. Time for some Valentine's facts. I'll start with this. Do you know 3% of pet owners will give Valentines to their pets?
Just 3?
Yeah.
That would have been more.
50% of those people will end up on the show hoarders. That's the truth. Now, what are we going to talk about? According to a survey in the UK conducted by PRS, that's just a company that creates surveys.
Yeah.
I want you to survey this, and they say, okay, and they go out and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
For another company called Music. This is an organization that's, I guess, equal to our royalty-paying groups over here, like BMI and ASCAP.
Yeah.
In the UK, they pay royalties out to all these songwriters and such. They wanted to find songs that had lyrical connections to men.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked, what are the songs that make men cry? What are the songs that make men have the largest emotional reactions? What songs can get to the souls of men?
It's actually a very thought-provoking topic, because whenever you pitched it to me, should we do this, should we not do this, I gotta tell you, the UK are notorious for coming up with great surveys.
Well, they really are.
There's somebody in the state should do this.
Yeah, and men here apparently now cry. Every reality show guy cries. Then the Speaker of the House cries.
Yeah, he did.
I don't cry, but apparently you're supposed to cry now. Let us begin. We'll come back with more Valentine's Day stuff and more songs that should make you cry. Number 10, according to the survey, Robbie Williams' song Angels.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. Wrote this one with Guy Chambers. Huge hit over in the UK. Not so known here except Jessica Simpson recorded it in 2004. Thus, not known here. So here's...
Oh, wow.
Here's Robbie Williams. I'll send her some flowers on Valentine's Day. Robbie Williams, Angels. Sounds like this. Don't cry. Don't cry. Rock school.
I sit and wait. There's an angel contemplate my fate. Do they know? Angels instead.
Man, you got it out for the female pop singers today, huh?
Do I?
Well, you were hating on Christina at the beginning, which Fergie. Is justifiable.
Fergie.
What's wrong with Fergie?
Well, she was part of the Black Eyed Peas.
What's wrong with Jessica Simpson? Why are you hating on her?
If you don't know, you may no longer be part of this radio show.
Oh, Tim, come on.
Should I send them flowers?
You should. You should send them from that Faith Hill website.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you got a nice... What's the next song?
Yeah, there we are. Okay, moving up the chart. There's 10 of them on this PRS thing about mm-hmm. songs that make men cry.
I actually brought mine.
That's true. I brought one as well, and you brought one.
I have a song that provokes the emotion every now and then.
I got one that kills me.
Yeah?
It really does, and I hate to admit it, but it has welled me up in the past.
We'll get to it.
Number 9 on this PRS survey for the UK, Unchained Melody. Now, they have here Todd Duncan, which was the original.
Oh, really?
The one you hear by the Righteous Brothers. Mm-hmm. That's a remake of it, obviously, but Todd Duncan had the original. Here's another piece of information from Valentine's Central. The highest-selling Valentine's Day card is from Hallmark. Remember Hallmark?
Yeah.
He's a roommate of the fat guy named Al.
Exactly.
It is V330-5.
You brought the serial number to the Hallmark card?
Yes, I did. It says here. Here's the inscription on the inside. Each time I see you, hold you, think of you, here's what I do. I fall deeply, madly, happily in love with you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Careful, man. Speak.
That's it. That's it. That's where it ends. That's it. That's the highest selling.
That's
it. That's the one. That turns girls into
mush.
Oatmeal, apparently.
Well, you and I could have wrote that.
No, we couldn't have.
Oh, I could write that. I could spit you. Look, I got a pen and paper, and by the end of this show, I will come up
play
with Hallmark's next Valentine's
play
Day card.
We'll play a song. You come back, and we'll do something as long as it doesn't start with Roses Are Red.
I got it.
Number 8 on the PRS list, Streets of Philadelphia. Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Jonathan Demme had Southern Man by Neil Young in this, and then he kind of realized that Philadelphia isn't in the South, and ask Bruce Springsteen if he wouldn't actually write something like this. This was actually recorded in the same place where his house, obviously, where he did the Nebraska album, and Springsteen put this whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
So, Streets of Philadelphia. Here's Bruce. Rock School. This is Rock School as we look at a survey conducted in the UK by a company called PRS, the top 10 songs that make men cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before the break, Chad said that he could write a Hallmark card.
I said I was going to do it by the end of the show. I did it during that song.
All right. You had about what, 4 minutes to play with there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear it. What is the inside of the Hallmark card that you wrote, Chad?
Ready?
Go.
I love you.
Is that it?
Well, it's got two exclamation points after it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right there?
See, it's the visual. The visual right there it is.
And when you open up the card,
It's
going to play a song.
What's the song it's going to play?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I Like Big Butts.
And I Cannot Lie.
Oh, that's brilliant.
How about that?
The average American, in case you're wondering, will spend $119.67 this year on Valentine's Day, up from $100.89 last year. So you got to top $100 this year for the love of your life.
You have a love. Do you spend $100?
I certainly do.
On what?
Stuff.
Like what?
Love stuff.
Yeah, love stuff.
Number 7 on this here list of songs that make men cry. The original Candle in the Wind, not the one that he actually redid for
Princess
Goodbye
Di.
English Rose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you know the original idea? I know Candle in the Wind was a tribute to Marilyn Monroe,
yeah.
But according to Elton John, the original idea was to write it about Janis Joplin.
Come on.
Yeah, it was. So wow. Candle in the Wind is number 7. And the one we're going to play, number 6, because I want to get to the bottom of the hour with one of our picks. Number 6, this is another one from the UK, as the PRS survey is from the UK. This is by The Verve. The story behind the song, The Drugs Don't Work, is this. And this is where I might actually choke you up a little bit. Verve lead singer Richard Ashcroft wrote the song tackling the hardships of watching his father dying of cancer.
Oh, wow.
When he was 11 years old. The drugs they were giving to his father were no longer working.
Wow.
Thus, the title of the song, The Drugs Don't Work. So,
yeah, man.
Number 6 on the list of songs that might make men cry. The Drugs Don't Work. This is The Verve. Rock School.
All this talk of getting old, it's getting me down, my love, like a cat in a bag.
There's The Verve, The Drugs Don't Work. Kind of bring up the happiness out of that song there. I hope nobody cried over that. What's the matter with you?
What do you really need to know?
I do. What's
you
the matter?
Love
what
stuff.
That I buy my wife love stuff?
Where do you get love stuff?
Walmart.
Walmart, right.
They clear out an aisle, you know, and can move all the soups over to
Excuse
14,
me.
Bob.
Where's your love stuff?
We need to create a love stuff aisle here. Play Barry White while people can walk down and buy the stuff.
Award-winning podcast you're listening to right here.
Here we are, folks. Let me see if I can give us yet another award. This is the second time of the year, the second highest time of the year for cards to be sold. Christmas is number one.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, the number one highest selling time of the year for condoms. According to Durex Condom Company, it is times like this around Valentine's
times
Day.
Times like this.
20 to 30% higher than usual sales.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, this goes on.
Oh, does it?
Guess what month has the highest at-home pregnancy test sales?
March.
Right. You got to let nature take its course.
And you'll find all this in the love stuff aisle.
That's
Start
right.
Beginning at your local Walmart.
That's right. I already have 2 children.
Wow.
That's enough. We'll stop there.
That's
so
awesome.
Nothing but chocolate and flowers this time around, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
I got a cool card for you.
That's
you
true. Well, I think that would be successful, which is why I won't be buying it. Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in beautiful Shreveport, Louisiana, the headquarters of love stuff. I don't know.
What is it? A big building with
trucks?
It's
a big pink warehouse. Yeah,
yeah. Constantly driving away. Get more love stuff out to the United States. Find us on Facebook. Gee, we're clever.
Yeah.
Look at Rock School Radio Show. You'll find us. Friend us. We just love you to death. Back in a minute. Rock School. This is our Valentine's Day show here on Rock School. Chad, when you give a Valentine's Day card to your lovely wife, do you sign it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that's considered bad luck?
What?
Yeah, you're not supposed to sign your Valentine's Day card.
Well, why?
I don't know. It says starting in Victorian times, it was considered bad luck to sign a Valentine's Day card. Even in today's society, some people consider it bad luck to sign your Valentine's Day card.
Obviously, it came from me, but I mean, seriously,
I don't know why some things are bad luck, but
you
according
have to sign it.
No, you just hand it to her, and apparently, signing it is bad luck. It breaks the bonds of Valentine-y things.
Oh well,
there. Glad I could figure that out for you. Time for my song. Chad brought a song. I brought a song here. We've been dealing with this PRS survey of the songs most likely to make men cry. That's from the UK. Time for an American song here, one by me. As soon as we looked at this, I said to Chad, you pick a song, I'll pick a song. I knew exactly what my song was.
Mm-hmm.
It's by a guy named Gilbert O'Sullivan. He's an Irish singer.
Yeah.
Had a couple other hits in the United States. Get Down was one. Claire was another one. This one was his only American number one, spent 6 weeks at number one in America, gave him some Grammy nominations as well. It's called Alone Again Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a guy who's just had the worst time of his life. His parents die, his so-called bride-to-be leaves him at the altar, and he's decided to prove to everybody how horrible his life is by climbing to the top of the tallest tower he can find and committing suicide.
What?
That That's the story.
Dude.
And every time I hear it, I think of my own father dying. Yeah. He hasn't died yet.
Yeah.
But I think of that, and it just, it rips me in half. And
well,
so
right.
I'm going to play it.
Let's get to ripping.
Okay. It's Gilbert O'Sullivan and my pick for the songs that have the most emotional ripping at me. This is Alone Again, Naturally, Rock School.
Wait a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sound, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. And climbing to the top, will throw myself off.
Oh, you know when I listen to this? No.
Okay.
You know when I listen to this show back? Because I always, once the show is recorded, I get it on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I will listen to it three or four times. I'll have to zip past that song.
Oh, there's come no on, dude.
I will. That song rips me apart. This is our Valentine's Day show. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Pete.
You know, you guys out there, you're looking for something new and interesting and wild and crazy to give to your girlfriend. Forget chocolates. Forget flowers. Forget lingerie. Forget neat baubles and bows and whatever else fling-flangs and you know that the Grinch was concerned about getting. I got something for you.
What?
You know what the number one thing is you give on Valentine's Day in Wales? Wooden spoons.
Whoa.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, wooden spoons. They're called wooden love spoons, and they're carved and given as gifts on Valentine's Day. Normally,
hey, it's enough
truth.
Said.
That's right.
It's a PG show.
No,
you don't need
it's
to
a
know
spoon.
What you do.
How dirty are you going to get with a spoon?
You get creative. I don't know.
Well, it says hearts and keys and keyholes were the favorite decorations, and they're all meant to say, you unlock my heart. So there you go. Forget all the candies and chocolates and all that kind of stuff. This year, from the Rock School team, buy a wooden spoon, ladies
Excuse
and gentlemen.
Excuse me. Where are your wooden spoons? Yes. Aisle 12, love stuff.
Oh, God, lovely. Follow the Barry White music. Time to do 7 days and 70 seconds, February 7th through February 13th. It's Chad. He has it. Go.
February 7th in 1964, American Beatlemania begins as the Beatles land at Kennedy Airport on their first trip ever to the United States. They've got a number one song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and thousands of screaming teenagers greet them on the tarmac.
I'll make you bet they come up again in this little week here. Tuesday, February 8th, 1969, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Steve Winwood announced they have plans to form a new group and they will call it Blind Faith.
February 9th, 2 days later, in 64, the Beatles made their U.S. debut on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Told ya. February 10th, that is a Thursday, on this day, in 1959, Link Wray and his Rayman make their second appearance on American Bandstand.
February 11th, that's a Friday this year, but back in 1986, Culture Club frontman Boy George appeared on the TV show The A-Team.
Do you know what he was?
No.
He played a sort of pop singer that gets inadvertently booked into a country western bar, and the A-Team has to save him.
Well, yeah.
Saturday, February 12th, 1981, Debbie Harry confirms that she's leaving Blondie for good, and then Sunday, February 13th, 1988, Michael Jackson buys the Neverland Ranch, and they start constructing a Ferris wheel. That's not a joke. They actually start constructing a Ferris wheel. And that's 7 days and 70 seconds. We go to number five on the list from PRS of songs most likely to make men cry. I don't know. This song has never made me have any relationship move or feel at all. It was Rolling Stone's best single of 1987. Bono exclaims that the entire song is about you two and their relationship with the public. Because in the line they say, and you give yourself away. It basically is how you two feels at all times, exposed, exposed, exposed. This is With or Without You. Rock School. This is Rock School as we do our Valentine's Day show, talking about this PRS survey, songs most likely to make men cry. I don't think you two's With or Without You would make anybody cry, unless they hated you too. Here's some more information. 15% of U.S. women send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day.
What?
Yeah, I think most of them also become part of this 3% of pet owners that give
their
pets
serious?
Valentine's Day gifts.
Why would you send flowers to yourself? That's dumb. That's just dumb.
Why not? If you like flowers, you know, you can get exactly what you want.
Just and go and get some flowers then. Why do you have to send yourself flowers?
You could send yourself a note like that Faith Hill commercial and tell yourself you have a nice, Next one up on the list of this PRS survey, Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know you attend church. You have a religious background. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah is a Hebrew word, which means glory to God,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
All the way through the song, apparently there are lots and lots of references to the Bible.
Yeah.
You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. Can
That's
you do
talking
it?
Talking about Bathsheba.
Good for you. Huh? She tied you to the kitchen chair. She broke her throne. She cut your hair.
Samson and Delilah.
But remember when I moved you in, the holy dove was moving too. Can you do it?
The holy dove. No, I don't know that one.
Apparently, divine conception of Mary. I was thinking maybe Noah.
Oh,
something like that.
Possibly.
Apparently, the line also, the fourth, the fifth, the major fall, the minor lift, that kind of thing. I don't think I have the line quite right, but apparently somebody thinks that's believed to deal with David, music, that kind of thing. The Psalms were all songs.
Could
that
be.
Kind of thing.
Could also be the story of when he rose to be the king of Israel over King Saul.
Wow, you maybe do know all of this stuff. Good for you. Here's the song. You listen to it, make your own decisions. Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah. Rock School.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played. And it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
There's Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah, here on Rock School.
I like that song.
You know, I said that was number three, which means I skipped number four altogether. I was going to mention it, obviously, but not play it. Number four on this list of songs most likely to make men cry was Nothing Compares, the number two and the letter U by Sinead O'Connor. It says here it was a number one hit in 17 countries and was named in the top 30 of the greatest videos ever made by MTV. If I'm not mistaken, Sinead O'Connor sent flowers to herself last Valentine's Day. Do you want a gift on Valentine's Day?
I'm indifferent. If I don't get one, it's no big deal. If I do get one, great.
It says here 1/3 of men would prefer to not receive a gift. And the reason they would prefer not to receive a gift, because they feel it cheapens their gift.
Hey, this is true. I'll go on and agree with that.
Yeah.
That is true.
I'm kind of that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like something on my birthday. I'd like something for Christmas. But other than that, maybe Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
If it's my day,
yeah,
great. Valentine's Day is for women.
Right.
That's just the way I feel. If that makes me a sexist pig, oink, oink. But Valentine's Day is for women. That's kind of the way I feel. Don't get me anything. If you're going to do anything, cook something. You know what I mean? Make a nice dinner.
That'd be fine.
No need to buy me anything.
I'll take a card. Unsigned.
See, I don't want a card. I don't even want that. I get it. Unsigned. Very nice. Hello, WBASD, Burlington, Wisconsin. Congratulations. Your team won the Super Bowl.
How about that? Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. I wonder what the Europeans do for Valentine's Day.
Something much more loving than us.
And
I don't
romantic,
know.
Romantic, yeah.
I know. There's just something that just seems like, you know, if you're in Spain,
right,
it's going to be more romantic than being in, I don't know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like entire countries made up of love stuff.
Yeah, it just seems that way.
Right.
Love stuff. Back in a minute. Rock School. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Two more to go on the PRS survey of songs that make men cry, but I'm going to hand it over to Chad because Chad has a song that he added to the list. Go, man, go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you probably guessed it from the time that you asked me to name it because I brought it up on the show a couple of times already. It is Green Day's Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Which version?
Huh?
Which version? That's the question.
I brought the live version.
And I know which one it is.
It's the one from the first Monday Night Football game back into the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina.
It got me as well.
Billy Joe Armstrong, the frontman for Green Day, wrote this song about his father. His father passed away in September. Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Right.
If you really think about it, when Hurricane Katrina hit August 29th, 2005.
Almost
a few
September.
Days from September, but really all the disaster and everything, the aftermath was in September, so it fit perfectly. Doc, right before they go into that solo, he screams, "New Orleans!" And when I saw that, I broke down.
Yeah, it was something else. And then the Saints didn't just beat up Atlanta.
Oh, what?
They crushed them.
Sure. Crushed them. So here it is. Green Day, Wake Me Up When September Ends. Rock School.
That a good one?
It was so refreshing, too, because right after that song, they went into The Saints Are Coming, followed by Beautiful Day. So
right.
It kind of went from a tearjerker to just, it pumps you up so much.
And the city had been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't live here, it's hard to imagine what a great thing the Saints winning the Super Bowl was. And yesterday, we record this show on a Monday. Yesterday, we had to give up the moniker of
Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, world champions. And mm-hmm. that's, it was a peaceful handover of it, but we didn't give it up. You know, they kind of took the Lombardi trophy and we hung on for a second.
Right.
And okay, you can have it.
Yeah, we'll be back. I got a couple of honorable mentions here for mine, and I had a toss up between this one and the one that I played, but this is a song called Tennessee. It's by Hans Zimmer.
That's from a movie.
You know it as the theme from Pearl Harbor.
Oh, okay.
And I own the movie. I watch it every now and then, and I really did get digested into the story.
Uh-huh.
So whenever when the guy gets killed and Ben Affleck's character says you can't die because you're going to be a father,
hey.
And he looks at him and says, "No, you will." And then he ends up taking the little boy on a flight, and the song is playing in the background. That really gets to me. And also, I know we make fun of this song every now and then because that was their number one, but it's Aerosmith's "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" from Armageddon.
Yeah, well, they didn't write it.
No, they didn't.
No.
But they sure did perform it extremely well.
Yeah, they did.
And again, that has to do with a dad. Come to think of it, both of these songs have to do with dads.
They sure do.
Bruce Willis's character is saying goodbye to Liv Tyler, and she's got her head hung and her hand on the screen, and the screen goes dark, and he dies saving the world, and this song just captures that entire emotion and kind of gets to me.
Well, I had two other ones I thought about as well. John Lennon's Watching the Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
When we were waiting for my son Max to come, he's adopted from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
When we were waiting for him to, come available to us, we knew who he was.
Right.
Obviously, we'd seen pictures. We got pictures every week. But we knew he was. We were waiting for him to come. I must have played the song Watching the Wheels by John Lennon once or twice every single day. It just resonated with me.
Right.
When we were waiting for my daughter to come, Isla, again, we knew who she was.
Mm-hmm.
We were just waiting for her to come. I must have played Billy Joel's Traveling Prayer every single day, two or three times a day. I just had it on a CD in my car, and I just kept pounding and pounding and pounding the song.
And I go back to my original thought, that is the beauty of music. No matter what you are feeling, no matter what emotion it may be, happiness, sadness, anger,
there's a song for it.
There's probably two or three songs for it.
All right, let's wrap up the list. According to PRS, a survey conducted for Music, that's the organization that collects and distributes royalties over in the UK, here are the top two songs that make men cry. Number two, Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven,
mm-hmm.
song written for his son, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the number one song, the one we're going to play. Yeah, little drum roll, please.
What is it?
R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts.
Oh.
And the funny thing is, it actually wasn't written by Michael Stipe.
No.
And the people who are normally the writers in R.E.M. It was written by Barry, the drummer.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You seen the video?
Of course.
Would they all get up and leave the interstate?
Sure.
Wow, if that happens to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, somebody gets hurt. The string arrangement on it was done by John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin. Barry said he wrote it, aiming it at teenagers to basically say, look, everybody hurts. You're not alone, kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. So that's
good
it.
Song,
we're going to wrap it up on that one. Next week, we'll be back. Do something nice for Valentine's Day. Whether the guy wants it, whether the lady says she wants it or not, buy him something nice. But honey, I don't want anything. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Hey, let's go on to, what was it, the love stuff?
Love stuff.
Let's go buy some love stuff, Chad. What do you say?
Ew.
Rock school, hey, class is dismissed.
Your day is long and the night is young.